mention of Job, we immediately think of suffering. But if you think about it, he's not alone. We could speak of Abraham, of Jacob, of Joseph, of Moses, of David, who was hunted like a dog, running for his life. We could think of the Apostle Paul, persecuted, beaten, rejected. We could think of the Son of God himself, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so it is with all God's children in every generation. Satan this morning would single you out and say that you've got it worse than anybody's ever had it, and there's no hope for you. But the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians that there hath nothing come your way but such as is common to man. Somebody's been there before, and they felt just as low as you do about it. But hey, God's God. This book of Job has so much to say to our generation, a generation living in a time that's marked by name it and claim it religion. Back God in a corner, if you will, and get what you want. A theology prevalent and the all too often preaching of a prosperity gospel that God wants everybody to be healthy and wealthy and wise, yeah. Well, strange and deep as this book of Job is, I think it's safe to say from the beginning, God really knew Job. But it's not till the end that Job really knew God. And that's kind of the way it is with us, isn't it? We delight in the fact that our God is sovereign. And from the beginning, he knows all, sees all, rules over all and in all. He's our God. But oh, to know him. To know him. I want to read three verses in this chapter, Job 35, beginning with verse 9. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. The title of our message is Songs in the Night. Songs in the Night. And we have those four words in the question that's asked in verse 10. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? These three verses address the depravity of man in a definite way. Verse 9 talks about the vanity of complaining to everybody except the Lord. And verse 10, well, let's stay with verse 9. Talks about the vanity of complaining to everybody except the Lord. Are we guilty of that? Yeah. We all whine and moan and complain. If not out loud, at least in our spirit. And if we do muster up a smile, it's hypocritical a lot of times. This verse says we do this by reason of the multitude of oppressions. Trouble on top of trouble continues to mount up and beat us down. Notice he said not a few, but multitude of oppressions. One thing after another. And we often say, I don't know how much more of this I can take. What else can possibly go wrong? And we cry and complain about it. Now, verse 10 charges us with the sin of doing our crying and complaining to everyone except the one we should be crying to. Yeah, I just use the word sin, the sin of crying to everyone except who we should be crying to. We fail to realize that our complaining to each other is really complaining against the Lord who rules in everything. Verse 10, He's the only one can do anything about it. No one, none saith, where is God? He's the only one. Verse 11 magnifies this sin in that we're not like the beast of the earth. We were created in God's image and likeness. And this verse says that God teaches us more than the beast of the earth and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. Man has no excuse for not crying to and pleading for the mercy of God in everything. And yet in these verses we have a clear declaration of depravity. Men don't do it. And the man speaking in these verses is Job's fourth friend in this book by the name of Elihu, E-L-I-H-U. He's speaking. Job has heard already from the first three, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And now a younger man named Elihu, who would have kept silent, he told us, had he heard anything worth hearing beforehand. But in light of what he'd heard, it's on him now to speak up the truth. Everybody's crying about something. But he said, none saith. Nobody is crying to the Lord. And in this central verse of the three we've read, verse 10, he reminds us that in spite of whatever we might be going through, if you've got more problems than you can number, and you do, if you've got more problems than you can explain, and you have, if you've got problems that would embarrass you to discuss, and you probably do, he reminds us, in spite of all that, that God giveth songs in the night. I want to just give us four things about this, and I'll be brief. Before I would say that, before I give you these four things, you that think you've got the bull by the horns and think you've got it pretty well figured out how you're going to get along in life, it's not going to work that way. I can promise you that. So stay with me for just a few minutes about these four things. Number one, I would note the setting that's made mention of here. In the night. God giveth songs in the night. How very expressive that phrase is, even in our lives, in the night. He's not referring to a joyful time of jubilation and a joyful environment, like being at a party with bright lights and bright colors, surrounded by friends, music, and laughter. He's talking about in the night. In the stillness of the night. In the darkness of the night. In the loneliness of the night. When it seems you don't have a friend in the world, and you don't think you'll ever have another. That's what he's talking about. Now, of course, this symbol or thought of in the night. It's not limited to after sundown and before sunrise, not that night. But even in the middle of the day sometimes. Your heart, your spirit can be darker than midnight over the burdens you're carrying and the heartaches you have. And this idea of having a song and singing in the night of sorrow, don't come easy. One writer said it's about all we can do in our trouble to muster up a heartless whistle, let alone a song. In the night, not just when it's dark, outside, but in the darkness of our experience and our lack of vision because of the darkness. It is then that fears seem to arise so abundantly and so real. You wake up with a bad dream. It so grips you. It is then in the night our adversary and his demons, the rulers of darkness of this world, he stirs up fear and unrest in your heart in the night. That is, when you can't see. And he would carry our minds away from any thought of a God who cares. So this is the setting that's referred to here, in the night. The second thing, this text is not silent about the source of the songs. Nothing is said about you and I trying to muster up a song. I'm going to tell you, when you get low, there's no muster in you. It's just a matter of, I think I'll lay here and die. And it's not just some ignoramus saying to you, well, look on the bright side. So often there is no bright side. Or somebody saying, well, it could be worse. Who wants to hear that when it's already bad? It could be worse. No, the message here is that the source of the songs this man is talking about are not human, but divine. It is God Himself who giveth songs in the night. He alone can in any situation. And I promise you there will be situations when He alone does. Maybe even when He alone cares. But He is the caring and the able giver of songs. I'd remind us that our God is omnipresent. That is, He's everywhere all the time. He has not left you. When you make a fool of yourself or when something bad happens to you, the first thing the devil says is, well, I guess God's left you and it's good enough for you. It's just what you deserve. And you agree with him and said, yeah, I know it. But I promise you, God has not left you. He is present wherever you are all the time. God is omniscient. He knows it all. Those details that you wouldn't dare have anybody else to know, He knows it all. He hadn't missed anything. He feels every pain you feel. He has seen all that's been done to you. He's heard all that's been said about you. He knows it all. Be it ever so ugly, He knows all the truth. And then our God is omnipotent. That means all powerful. Nothing is too big for Him. He can tear what He wants torn. And then He can mend it again as if it had never been torn. I'm simply saying he's God. He really is. He really is. And he's the source of songs in your sorrow, a song in your suffering, a song in your shame. He's the source of a song in the night. And then the third thing, I'm hurrying along, the subject of God's songs. What are they about? His songs are given in order for you and I to reflect on His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His faithfulness, to encourage our feeble hearts. Christ is the subject. The one who's been where you are. The one who's with you now. And the one who won't leave you. We have the reminders of God's goodness in the past. Did you know this morning Satan would have you forget that God has ever done you good? He'll run you plumb into that ditch. The song of God's past blessing reminds us. I think about a king in the Old Testament named Asa, king of Judah. He looked back on one occasion and he prayed, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. You've done it before. You can do it again, Lord, whether with many or with few. It don't matter how many years of us, how many years of them. It don't matter how weak I am and how many problems I have. It is nothing with thee to help. You can do it, Lord." And then I think about a godly king, Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He reminded God of past blessings. He said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Are you not a lot bigger than we act like you are, Lord? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" He's given every spiritual blessing to the spiritual seed of Abraham forever. Paul said he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's God. He's God. Surely, 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 not one of us this morning could look back and say, "God's not been so good to me." Because He has. He has. He has. The Word of God is full of past mercies that we've all experienced. Our lives are full of past mercies and present mercies. Then what about the future promises of God? That's certainly a fit subject for us all. "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." He gives these songs to His people in the night. I tell you, it just don't come any more beautiful than this. Isaiah 43. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The Lord says, "I'm going to take care of you." Devil says, "What if I cut your head off?" He can't cut my head off. My head's in heaven. Christ is my head. We're the body. See? So we're fixed as the people of God. Thou art mine. God says, I've got this. Calm down and trust me. Some of you wonder this morning, would God stick his neck out for a character like me? He does it all the time. 24/7. He's the subject of the songs he gives. There's no point in him giving you a song about you and how wonderful you are. You already wrote that anyway and copyrighted it. Nobody's buying it, but it's your song. His songs are about him. And the old song is the same as the new song. Worthy is the Lamb. Christ who died shed his blood to wash away our sin. God's songs are about who he is and what he's done. Think about a story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. The prophet Elisha and his servant. And the Syrian army had come in the night and they had encamped all around them to capture Elisha. That's in the night, see. The Bible's full of this in the night stuff. Your life is full of this in the night stuff. And Elisha's servant got up early in the morning. And he went outside and looked around. And the Bible said, behold, on every side he saw the enemy encamped and just waiting to pounce on him. He saw with these eyes, physical eyes. And that's our problem. That's about all we see is with these eyes. We need some eyes right in here. And he went running in and he woke up Elisha the prophet. He went all to pieces. And he used that unique word of alarm. Alas! Alas is like throwing up your hands. It's over. Alas, what shall we do? We've had it now. But Elisha, the prophet of God, was not alarmed. And his calm statement to his servant was this. There's more of us than there is of them. How dumb was that? This servant looks around and says, say what? There's just me and you. And there's many, many multitudes of them. And Elisha prays and said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see what's really going on. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw heavenly hosts, armies, between them and the enemy. Looking at the unseen. God protecting. God providing. It gave Elisha rest. It gave his servant rest. And it'll give you rest. You say, but you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm facing. Wouldn't do you no good to know what I'm facing. Wouldn't do me no good to know what you're facing. We can pray one for another. But neither one of us is big enough to do anything about our problem. If we were, we already got rid of them. Right? But there's rest. There's peace in the time of trouble. And then the fourth thing, the satisfaction of the songs God gives. Now, by nature, these songs are not requested. Turn on the radio, they say, we're going to play this next song by request. No. These songs Elihu's talking about is not requested. Matter of fact, he says here, nobody's asking for it. None saith, where's God to give us a song? But God gives it. God giveth songs and it satisfies. He won't sell you a song. You can't earn it. He won't loan you a song. He don't loan them. But He giveth songs in the night. The book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in jail at Philippi. And they were given a song at midnight. You ought to go read that story. Could they sing because they didn't have any problems? No, they had problems. They sang because God, our Maker, giveth songs in the night. That's how I sing. That's how you sing. And by the way, in this verse here, God, our Maker, none saith, where is God, our Maker? The word Hebrew word for maker is not creator. People say, well, you're going to meet your maker. That's your creator. That's not what he's talking about here. But he's really rather talking about what God has made out of his creation. Where is God, our Maker? Where is God who brought us to this situation? He can give you a song in the night. And instead of frantically crying, when am I getting out of this? His song will cause you to cry, Lord, what am I getting out of this? What is this school about? What is it you're doing? Teach me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Help me, Lord. The Apostle Peter had a song in the night. Acts chapter 12, he's locked up in prison. By the way, all these fellows were doing was preaching the gospel and they got locked up. That's very convicting for a preacher. I think, well, you know, if I was really doing anything much, maybe I'd get locked. Here's Peter preaching the gospel now, and he's locked up. Herod's going to kill him. He's going to execute him. And Peter is not actually singing. He's snoring. I mean, he's out of it. He's sacked out. And if you read that story, Acts 12, the angel has a hard time waking him up. He's sleeping like a log. He's facing Herod's sword, but he's sleeping like a log. Reckon I could do that? Reckon you could do that? God's given Peter a song in the night. And that song God has given him has taught him that Herod don't really have a sword. It's God's sword. And he determines who will use it and when they'll use it. See, we forget that our adversary, the devil, is God's devil. He works for God. And the load God's people are carrying today, Christ our Lord says to us, let it be my load. I'll carry it. I'll carry it and let you rest. Peter said it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Christ said it, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He wasn't talking about you laboring, punching the time clock somewhere. No. All you that labor under the load of your sin and guilt and unworthiness and corruption and wretchedness. All you that labor and you're heavy laden, you're burdened down with it. Christ said, come unto me, I can handle that. I can take the load and give you rest. If I carry it, you won't have to. How satisfying his song. It gives peace that passeth understanding. You that have walked to the graveside know what he's talking about. He gave grace. He gave peace. He gave calmness to face what you thought you never could. And so it is in all your life, with relationships, with finances, with physical problems. His song satisfies, and he gives peace in the midst of the storm. I'd give you this in closing, a little story I've told you before. A bunch of artists went to an art convention somewhere. Nobody was there but famous artists throughout the world. And they had some little teaching sessions and some little assignments. And one of the things was that all these famous artists were instructed to paint a picture of peace. Now, how would you do that? How would you paint a picture of peace? Well, some of them drew the, beautiful mountains, lovely scene. Some of them drew grassy fields and a beautiful meadow. Some drew the valley. All kind of beautiful pictures. And this one artist drew a picture of the sea in the middle of a storm. And the waves were beating against a rocky cliff. And the sky's dark. And the rain's pouring. And it's really a fearful scene. And the instructor said to him, "You must have misunderstood the assignment. It was to draw a picture of peace. This is not peaceful at all. This is scary. Did you misunderstand the assignment?" And the man said, "I didn't misunderstand." And he pointed the instructor to a little crevice up in the rocks. And there was a tiny bird sitting there on a nest, peaceful in the midst of the storm. That was the picture of peace. If you but knew this morning that we are hidden in the rock of ages, whose side was riven on the cross. And guess what? All the storm, all the waves, all the winds cannot move the rock, cannot hurt the rock, and cannot hurt anybody in the rock. That's me. That's you. Peace. Elihu, in this long discourse in the book of Job, said, "Boy, I've heard some profound things out of you guys." But he said, "There ain't none of you asking, where is God who giveth song in the night?" We can't change the night. How many times you had something to do in the morning you were so very excited about, and you couldn't sleep a wink. You're up all night anticipating what you're going to get to do come daylight. Can't change the night. You just got to wait it out. Just wait it out. But I'm so glad we have a God who giveth songs in the night. In my night and in your night. I may not be there. He'll be there. Your closest friend may not be there. He'll be there. He'll be there.